The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
With staffing issues impacting many sectors here, are we overlooking the benefits of older workers and what they might have to offer? Is experience being valued enough, and could employers do more to retain staff who are approaching retirement age? And is there a role for those who've already retired to come back into the workforce? I'm joined by HR and workplace mediation expert with Woodview HR, Louisa Meehan, and in studio with me is John Barry from ISME. Good morning and welcome to you both. First of all, John, can anyone go on as long as they like now under the law?
Well, the legislation has now been changed, Pat, and under the Equality Act, is discriminatory to discriminate against someone based on their age solely. So if an employer wants to invoke a retirement clause, they've got to have an established objective reason why that person should retire at 65.
Does that mean that people could go on forever? Like the chief superintendent could say, I'm staying here, I'm not going anywhere, and the inspector who wants that job and who feels they're in line for it will never get it?
Indeed. It's unless the company can objectively justify it, yes, it could do. I've had clients where someone who's 80 is still working and they can't move that person on because they can still do the job.
Now, Louisa, the question of staff shortages and skills shortages in different sectors, how acute is that at the moment?
It's certainly something that a lot of employers are talking about. There is an issue in terms of recruitment and retention of staff amongst many different sectors out there. So it's certainly an area of concern, I think, for an awful lot of employers when they're trying to recruit. You know, I teach in UCD, and the class, when they were doing their projects this year, a lot of them are looking at recruitment and retention because there's such big issues in their organisations.
Now, the question of the use of older workers, keeping them on, it depends, I suppose, on whether or not they have accumulated a sufficient pension pot and they've got plans. But if people just want to stay on, is that now a thing?
So there can be some employees who want to stay on past their retirement date. So a lot of organisations will have the pension is linked to a particular date. You know, it was traditionally 65. Some have changed it to 66, 67. And there can be some complications if the pension is kicking in, but you're staying on in employment. So that can get a little bit tricky. Sometimes it depends on the rules around the pension scheme. But there are a lot of situations where employees will want to stay on. And there is also a lot of situations where they want to leave. So I think there is a mixture in relation to it. The key thing to me, and it's certainly talked about in the Financial Times article, is around a shift in terms of how people would like to work. Most people, even when they want to stay on, they want to do so a little bit more on their own terms. So organisations where they want to retain staff, certainly beyond the age of 65, it needs to be done in a way where you're doing it in collaboration with the staff member about their ability and about what it is that would work for them. So an increased level of flexibility, perhaps, an increased level of part-time working sometimes can be of benefit, but certainly having a really open and frank conversation with people. And capability does become a part of it. You know, it is a lot more common, and something I would recommend for a cohort of individuals to look at sending them for an annual medical review, just to make sure that any of the tasks that are being asked of them in the workplace, particularly if there's a physical element to it, are not going to cause any harm to them in that work situation.
John, is there any appetite that you've observed among people who have retired because that's what they were forced to do, who want to come back?
Yeah, I think, well, a couple of things. Things have dramatically changed. We're living much longer now, and certainly we're much healthier. So therefore, people who are still leaving their job are still active in work. And I have come across many occasions where people have asked for extensions of their employment for one, maybe 2 years. And of course, the difficulty is that and it's referred to their talks about flexibility, etc. Flexibility has been both sides. But unfortunately, employers can be hamstrung in having conversations because they have to always seem to be objective rather than subjective. So therefore, capability can become an issue when someone thinks they're capable of doing the job and you're starting to tell them they're not capable of doing the job. And that's where difficulties can arise.
So, Louisa, that difficulty where someone says, I am totally capable of carrying on, but the employer says, oh, no, you're not. I mean, it may be an IT issue. It may be a flexibility issue. It may be just younger people are more nimble. Maybe younger people more in touch with, you know, social media applications to work practices and so on. And how do you broach that subject with the older person and say, sorry, you're just not at the races anymore?
Well, I think it's important to remember not every employee has to do every single task. And we are all, irrespective of our age, there are things that we're good at or things that we're less good at. So it comes back again to knowing the person in front of you. If it is, as I said, a physical issue, you know, maybe somebody has a disability or something along those lines, then it's sending it external to a doctor to review that situation. It isn't for the employer to get involved in that. It is for a doctor to make that decision and to inform employee and employer in relation to those considerations. And disabilities and health issues do increase as age increases. That's just statistically. Yeah.
John's looking a bit skeptical, though, about employers saying you need to have your check.
Well, the difficulty here is pure and simply that, you know, you're working with someone regularly, you're seeing how they're performing, and you can possibly see things which a medical examination will not necessarily pick up because a person will still present themselves. And if I want to keep my job, I'm going to be very positive with my doctor or whoever sees me and tell the positive side. And you're not going to get doctors to give you a negative report if there's nothing very apparent to do that. So it's a grey area, unfortunately, and this is where the difficult conversations, and they are difficult conversations, take place. And sometimes employers will need to have some form of objective example of why they're having the conversation with someone.
Now, there can be tax disincentives, particularly if someone has an occupational pension and they work out with the so-called old age pension and the occupational pension. If they continue to work, they could effectively, with tax, be working for very little because their pension would have given them a good whack. And then, you know, if they continue working at the full salary, take tax at whatever, 50%+ off, they might be working for pennies.
It's a huge disincentive. And I think if government are serious, they need to look at some ways of making this more attractive for employers, because there is a huge pot of people out there who could contribute to businesses in different ways. So if they stay on, they might move aside to a different position. You've also got to remember that companies have got to be building new blood all the time and letting people come through the system so they can contribute to the business.
Now, Louise, is there a case for having employment agencies for retirees who want to get back in the workforce? Because, you know, they won't be as mobile, and I don't mean that physically, but they, once they get a job, they're more likely to stay there than a 30-something who's going to move from tech company to tech company, always chasing the next promotion, the next best terms and conditions in the marketplace.
I'm not a huge fan of recruitment companies that focus just on one cohort of society. I think you do need to have a spread with it, but having individuals within a recruitment firm specializing in it, absolutely. And as you say, you know, that sort of commitment is really important. And one thing that I've come across a lot over the last number of years working with organizations in the not-for-profit and the charity sector are people who have retired, who have a nice pension and all of those benefits, and then they come back and they give of their time and they give of their knowledge and their experience to organizations that really, really value it and get a huge benefit from it. So not all work is paid for in this company and in this country. I'm not suggesting now that's the only option once you've hit retirement, but there is value to that skill set and that knowledge and the talent that they have in a whole host of different ways. And I think we need to look at it in terms of how are they adding value to society, and also what is giving them personal joy and, I suppose, making them feel
value. It's always been so, I suppose, that people with time on their hands do voluntary work where they have an appetite for it. But in terms of paid work, John, is there a case now, given how people live healthier, longer lives, that there could be a chapter three?
I think so. I think we have to look at how that conversation takes place. I think it may well be a case that someone who gets that age may step aside to a more supportive role and give their wisdom to people who are coming up into the system and things like that. And those are the type of conversations and the type of practice we need to start establishing.
All right. But, you know, the way I used to do it was better. Yeah, I know you're in my job now, but
And I would call myself a bit of a dinosaur when it comes to IT stuff, for example, and the young ones coming up are much quicker and you're naturally nervous awareness of those things, but that's life, is changing, and we've got to move with the changes.
Interesting discussion. John Barry of ISMED, thank you very much. Louise Amin, HR and workplace mediation expert with Woodview HR, thank you too.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.